We live in a relational universe. The trees talk to each other. The stones hold our memories. The birds generously sing their songs of encouragement. And physicists, in their latest theorizing, have shown us how it is strings that propagate through space and time, interacting with each other, replacing this old notion of separate particles. We live in a relational universe. Last year, in May 2018, I was leaving my Vancouver home, and my patio was surrounded by trees, conifers and willow and fig, and these were the resting places for those beautiful little chickadees and blue jays and the occasional crow that was more an annoyance than anything else. But they offered me their song and their presence. And my time living on this small piece of land, this land originally cared for by the Musqueam and Tsleil-Waututh peoples, transformed me. It was my first dwelling place alone, without a partner, without roommates, without family. And yet I was not alone at all. This piece of earth sustained me. It witnessed my life and it held me. And when I departed, I rightfully said goodbye. And I miss that piece of earth, and just maybe it misses me. We live in a Christ-soaked world. And in Christ, all things hold together. A Christ-soaked world. A christened world. Christened world. Anointed. And this beautiful poetry that was read to us from this ancient liturgy in Colossians chapter 1 reminds us that Jesus and Christ are related but are not one and the same. The first incarnation of God was at the time of creation, when this invisible mystery, the source of all being, long before the birth of Jesus, joined with matter at this Big Bang, and everything visible became the outpouring of this relational God, relating to us through all that is seen. Ilio de Leo, in the tradition of St. Francis, writes this: we are created to read the book of creation so that we may know the author of life. And friends, when we gather in this space, we gather to take part in sacramental acts where the visible, the tactile, are primary doorways into the invisible. We light candles and we see the Christ. We are sprinkled with water and we are christened. We are anointed with oil and we are filled with the presence of Christ. And we eat bread and we taste the Christ and are given sustenance to carry on. The visible windows to God. And in these acts, we are invited, firstly, to come home to our bodies. These pieces of earth that we carry around with us, to show our respect and care by the way that we eat, the way that we move, the way that we rest, and the way that we touch and speak to each other. We are invited to come home to our bodies. And secondly, we are invited to reconcile with Earth, this most ancient mother, this endless source and inescapable destiny. Everything issues from her and eventually returns to her. She is Christ soaked. And so, as followers of Christ, we are engaging in acts of reconciliation of matter and spirit, reuniting in our acts of care and respect. On a day like this, we cannot not turn to the late poet, philosopher, priest, John O'Donohue. And I love the way that he tells the story of his childhood landscape. Maybe you now can take your mind back to the landscape of your growing up years. He was born on the west of Ireland, a bare limestone landscape. He says it was as if his imagination was opened up. This wild, surrealistic kind of deity must have laid down all this rugged earth and stone. And he was invited to imagine, how did it get here? He speaks of living right at the ocean, where an ancient conversation was happening between ocean and stone. And this childhood opened up his heart to have a watchful reverence, absolutely amazed at what could be revealed. For the landscape is not just matter, it is alive. And it sustained him and us. I don't know if this happens to you, but I know for me and some of my family and friends, when life gets too much, when our inner world gets tight and strained and even shut down, spending just some time at the slow ocean, or walking with our toes in the sand, or even seated under the canopy of a tree with the wind blowing on our faces, totally rejuvenates us. Somehow, we come home to ourselves. John O'Donohue writes, "It is a strange and wonderful fact to be here, walking around in a body, to have a whole world within us and a whole world at our fingertips outside of us. What a privilege to be alive." And he says it's incredible that humans manage to forget the miracle of just being here. As a follower of Christ, I have deeply come to appreciate the life and wisdom of Jesus. Jesus, this mysterious God-man, for us, the second incarnation, the Christ of all creation, now embodied in a human form, patterning a way of life for us, sacred life, living bread. And you know that Jesus most often prayed outside, finding for himself sustenance in the natural world. We read in the gospel stories of him walking outdoors in the wilderness, on a mountain beside the sea, walking mile upon mile out on dusty roads. Jesus was immersed in the natural world, using images of nature in his parables, weeds and wheat, seeds and stones, lilies, sheep and sparrows. And when we pray in the company of the living world, when we pray with the sacred that is in all, with God and each other, we can receive strength from beyond ourselves. And this is the incarnational way. Incarnational way. Restoring our relationship, matter and spirit reconciled. And we are invited in this creation season into earth consciousness to live earthy lives where we are aware there is a demise happening to our earth. It is becoming more clear and more despairing. Last year, October, the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released a major report. And in it, they declared that countries around the world have agreed that it is reasonably safe if we keep our Earth's temperature below 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming to sustain and maintain life as we know it on the planet. And this is so that we can avert catastrophic climate change like the collapse of rainforests. We're already seeing this. Coral reefs collapsing. The rapid melting of the ice sheets. Heat extremes that could lead to millions of climate refugees. And this UN report made it clear that to stay within this margin, this boundary, will require an extraordinary collective effort by human beings worldwide. And they gave an estimate of 10 years to prevent climate catastrophe. And when I read this and I hear it, the enormity of the task makes me feel so helpless and powerless, overwhelmed, even shut down. And sometimes I want to raise up my hands and quit and say, oh, it's too late. What difference can I make? I have become a student of the Reverend Margaret Bullitt Jonas, a climate activist and U.S. Episcopal priest. And she encourages us as people of faith to keep on gathering with each other and with others of like mind, to see each other's face, to look into each other's eyes, to feel each other's hands in ours, and, my friends, to pray. She writes, taking action is essential, but in order to discover what we are called to do and to find the strength to do it, we need to pray, to open ourselves to a power and a wisdom that is greater than our own. Margaret has taken, like Jesus, to praying outdoors, to feel her feet on the good earth, to feel the wind on her face, and she sings to the trees. She sings her grief to the trees that are being cut down. She makes up words as she goes along. She sings out her shame, her repentance and apology for the part that she has played. And she sings out her thanks and her praise to God for the beauty of trees. And she makes a vow to them that not a day would go by that she doesn't celebrate the preciousness of the living world in which we are blessedly a part and are trying to save for the well-being of our children. We are called to pray, to sing, to cry out, for we live in a relational world. And then we are called to act for and with this Christ-soaked earth, our island home. For we can make personal and collective changes to cut back strongly on our use of fossil fuels, to fly less, to drive less, to eat less meat, to push for the larger systemic changes, and maybe to sign up or send some money to climate champions. My friends, this September, I invite you to walk as if you are kissing the earth with your feet. Amen.